Okay? We've made it easy for you. You'll recognize it when they start singing. Let's give peace a chance. Reggae, baby! This is how they do it in Jamaica.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and we're rocking out to John Lennon.
Whitey!
rocking out to John and Yoko and Elephant's Memory Band on the Jerry Lewis Telethon. From 1972.
Yeah, we were laughing about Jerry Lewis and how he, you know, he'll sound very serious, and especially if he's talking about comedy, it's like he's never been more serious. And then you see his movies, and they're all like, "Oh, I did a bad," you know.
That's very good.
It is super crazy broad comedy.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the Jerry Lewis telethons that were on for so many years, and it was right at the peak of the Vietnam experience, so it seems right that John and Yoko and Elephant's Memory would go on and play Give Peace a Chance, which is our subject of today's episode, which is part two in our John Lennon singles of 1969. And so we looked earlier in the year at Cold Turkey and Don't Worry, Kyoko, and today we're going to look at Give Peace a Chance and Remember Love, which was on the B-side. So Give Peace a Chance is one of those iconic songs that you always associate with John Lennon, and I especially think about it in relation to that video of them recording it in the hotel room in Montreal, and kind of the whole atmosphere around it, and them sitting in bed, and the bed in. So it's just very iconic of the bed in days. So what are your thoughts, like, when if I just say Give Peace a Chance before thinking about the tune, what do you think of?
Well, I think of two things. One is that bed in, and particularly highlighted in, I think, the John Lennon Imagine documentary had some great footage from that of them you know, talking, arguing with people and talking to people and trying to get their message across, but also like recording that song and Remember Love was recorded in bed.
yes it was
actually at the same pretty closely thereby. But the other thing I think about, and I really was thinking about this this week because not too long ago there was a mass shooting in Dayton, and as you know, Dave, some of my soon to be extended family, really they're extended family already, but soon to be extended family since I got engaged recently, live in the Dayton area. I go to Dayton at least twice a year, sometimes three times a year. And when shortly after the shooting, President Trump paid a visit to Dayton, and there were protesters out there. And one of the I saw some video footage, and what are they all singing?
Give peace a chance. Wow.
So here we are 50 years later, and it's still sort of the as iconic as any protest song.
Yeah, we shall overcome or something.
We shall overcome or any of that stuff. It's equal on an equal level, maybe even a higher level in people's minds, of a song really that encapsulates what people are trying to say. Somewhat simple message, but very important message of like, hey, let's just, you know, and in that context, obviously, kind of saying, hey, can we get some gun control, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, I think it's amazing how quickly that song became sort of like in the zeitgeist of protest songs.
Yeah.
Adopted by the hippies, for rallies in the early 70s.
Yeah, some great points. I think a lot of it, the reason why that happens is because, like in a song like We Shall Overcome, it's a very positive message. It's also a very simple sentiment. You know, we shall overcome. We will overcome someday. Give peace a chance. You know, all we have to do is just give it a chance and we'll see what happens. It's not in your face, kind of a stop war now, although he yells that in the video. It's a very more of a positive, hopeful kind of thing. Let's just give it a chance and maybe we can all live together without violence and war and all of these things. So it's a very simple but powerful message. And yeah, a lot of it is just very much associated to that time of the late 60s and early 70s and John and Yoko being on their own. And also the circumstances of the song when it was, where it was played and written is also pretty interesting. So it was actually recorded in the Queen Elizabeth Hotel in Montreal, Canada, Quebec, in room 1742 on June 1st, 1969. And this was, of course, we mentioned during the bed-in. And I went to Montreal for a music theory conference several years ago. And I played hooky from the conference and walked over to the Queen Elizabeth Hotel, found the elevator, went past some guard, and just took the elevator up to the 17th floor. And there it was. And actually on the door, it says John Lennon, Yoko Ono, like it's their suite in the hotel. So you can actually rent out their room and their suite. So pretty cool place to do it. But I'm sure you were noticing, if you're thinking about recording a song in a hotel room, is that going to be a good acoustic, especially with a whole bunch of extra people and hangers-on showing up?
Yeah, it's going to be great. Murray the K won't get in the way, or Dick Gregory. Yeah.
Timothy Leary.
Petula Clark.
Yeah, so like a lot of people were there too. So, it was kind of a, like, you could see this in the video, but some of the famous people in the recording session itself. So Timothy Leary, the LSD guru, is very visible with a gray ponytail and swaying back and forth. You've got some Hare Krishna people in the video. Derek Taylor is prominently in there.
Allen Ginsberg, of course.
Yeah.
And the hot acoustic guitar stylings of Tommy Smothers.
Yes. Yes.
Tommy Smothers from the Smothers Brothers, of course.
Right. And if you remember when John Lennon was drunk in L.A., I think, or maybe L.A. or New York, during the when he was wearing the tampon on his head, he was yelling things out at the audience, and one of the things was it was a Smothers Brothers show, and he always talked about how he liked Tommy, but Dickie was an ass. And so so he likes Tommy because Tommy played with him on Give Peace a Chance. So
yeah.
Yeah, so
Tommy Smothers also gets a shout out in the for all time in the credits.
Yes.
Or in the, what seems to be credits in the middle of the song. Yeah. Where he's just saying Derek Taylor, Timmy Leary, Allen Ginsberg, Hare Krishna, and all that kind of.
So
the point you were getting at, the acoustics not being so great on the original recording, they intended just to release it as was, but that's not what happened, right?
No, they had John had been saying "Give Peace a Chance" to the reporters and talking about it for a week, and then he wrote the song, and so he said, asked Derek Taylor or somebody to go find a guy who can bring some portable recording equipment. So this person came over named Andre Perry and brought the 4-track recorder, got it going, but found out later that it was too much room noise and echo and just kind of hard to hear. So they sweetened it up a little bit with some background singers. So there's more singers than you had in the room. But it still sounds feels pretty live anyway.
Yeah. They captured the essence of, like, nobody takes who live at Leeds also has some overdubs. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever is like, this isn't authentic.
Authentic, right.
Throws the record out of the, so.
Not at all. So, yeah, what do you think of the actual song itself? I mean, apart from the message and the title.
Well,
as a song,
apart from the message and the impact of the song historically, like we talked about, that it's become an iconic thing that, you know, if you're in the right protesting circumstance, which I never am, I'm not a big go out and protest things guy, but I appreciate people who are. And everybody has the right to do so. So mm-hmm. if you're in that circumstance and it popped up and you and 1,000 other people are singing "Give Peace a Chance," I'm sure it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a song comes on the radio, I sort of shrug my shoulders and I think part of it is you've heard it so many times, it's part of your DNA.
Yeah.
And those songs, and this will come up pretty soon when we talk about Abbey Road and how overplayed a few of those songs are, the impact just sort of lessens of them over time. And then you're sort of like, so to me, the song's not a bad song. It's a very simplistic song, obviously, both musically and lyrically. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of become a skipper to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be in the mood for it, I think, for either being at some event where it could have an impact, or, I don't know, you're just sort of in the mood. It's not a typical song I'd play because, about 3/4 of it is really just repeating the chorus over and over again. And
Yeah,
and with John's ad-libs with, "Everybody, come on." Yeah. And
That's all we're saying. That's all. That's my favorite. That's my favorite of all.
I forgot about that one, dude. So earnest, you know. So, yeah, because the first part of the song, as you know, is really just kind of a rap of things that don't really fit together or just kind of wordplay.
Agism, shagism, dragism, madism. Ragism, tagism.
Okay.
I guess ragtag. Mm-hmm. He's going for that. You know, some of it's just nonsense. You know, ministers, sinisters, banisters, canisters, bishops, fishops, rabbis and popeyes, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And then revolution, evolution, mastication, which is not, he just changed it. It's obviously something else there.
Yes, yes.
Flagellation, because the next word's flagellation. It's like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Regulation, integrations, meditations, United Nations.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. And then the shout out verse of John and Yoko, Timothy Leary, Rosemary, Tommy Smothers, Bobby Dylan, Tommy Cooper, Derek Taylor, Norman Mailer, Allen Ginsberg, Hare Krishna.
Right. Right.
Those are all the lyrics other than all we are saying, give peace a chance. So just sort of like random stuff put together that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't necessarily have a great impact, those
no.
lines, you know, no. to me.
No.
But,
No, and musically it's equally as...
what do you make all that?
Yeah, musically it's, you know, just about as simple. I mean, that just is a lot of it's just either calling out who's in the room, the shout outs, or the just putting words together that rhyme. And the music is really just two chords, really just hangs on two chords, depending on what key you're in. And the recordings are all different, but it's really just two chords. And that's probably why it's so effective. It's easy to sing, it's easy to remember. And yeah.
Any dope who's ever picked up a guitar.
Yes, can play it.
Can play it.
Yeah.
So, and it's the melody is so easy that you can sing it. Everybody can sing it in a group too. So
right.
In a way it's genius in its simplicity, because it had it been too like, all we are saying, and then three-part harmony of give peace unto, then you wouldn't be able to sing it in a protest. No.
It's just got to be a guitar is all you need. So
Yeah.
What do you think about the fact that it was another kind of quirk about this song is that it was actually written while John was a Beatle, and it was originally credited to Lennon McCartney, and then that's been changed subsequently, but... He kind of felt awkward, like he couldn't quite take it away. And we talked about in our Cold Turkey episode that was the first single that was actually just John. And so here, this was still Lennon McCartney. So what do you think about the fact this was recorded right during Abbey Road period here?
Well, I think that part of it just points out what was going on was they were breaking up slowly and but couldn't fully break up some of the, like, this not being a Beatles song, but still being credited to McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
And McCartney probably for years making money off of it.
Yeah.
Something he had absolutely nothing to do with. Doesn't make much sense, obviously. You know, so I don't know if I don't know if he could at the moment that he released this take legally. You know, it just brings up a whole, like, gray area sort of, like, legal stuff at the moment that was going on, contractual type stuff. Was it possible that he could have just been, like, had a song released as just John Lennon, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I know. It just gets kind of interesting at that time what was going on. Just couldn't quite get rid of the whole Beatle thing, even though like you say, it was clearly going a different direction. But it was pretty successful. Did fairly well on the charts. In England, it did quite well in England. Hit number 2 on the British singles chart, and then hit number 14 in the U.S. So pretty good showing. And I mean, there's not much else to say. It's just a powerful message. Captured, like you say, kind of captured the whole period really well.
Yeah.
And it also worked well for, along with his other saying of war is over if you want it. And you had those billboards, and you could, those are two really simple phrases that are, they're conditional. So, if you want it, or all we are saying is, kind of things here, and the same kind of message. It was very effective marketing, I think, in some way too.
Well, and I think it just, I mean, it shows the change. I think up until this point where he meets Yoko and Yoko's having such an influence on him. And obviously Yoko influenced the bed-in idea, the bag-ism idea. And really he takes that and applies it really well, not just with this, but with the other things you mentioned and some other songs to really dig in on his beliefs. Revolution's probably an early version, an early sort of like glimpse into it. But, as you go forward, he'd, with varying degrees of success, I'm not sure if Attica State really still resonates or anything like that, but it is, I mean, it is the quintessential of his protest song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it also found favor with a lot of other people, right? As we're going to go to
Oh man,
the
we
patented
get
covers of Give Peace a Chance that Chris is so known for.
well, I had to start with the Peace Choir. This is the list of people in the Peace Choir here is incredible. You got Flea, Adamant, Peter Gabriel, Bruce Hornsby, Algyro,
Whoa.
Lenny Kravitz, though. Lenny Kravitz kind of put the thing together with Sean Ono Lennon, a still teenaged Sean Ono Lennon, who you'll hear. Little Richard, LL Cool J, MC
Wow.
Hammer, Michael McDonald, of
Whoa.
course, Yoko was part of this project. Tom Petty, Iggy Pop, Bonnie Raitt, Run DMC.
Wow. This is, when was this done?
This was released on the day that the Gulf War started.
Oh, okay. Back in
So back in
1990.
1991. So it was in response to the imminent Gulf War, which was about to start. So it was released on February 1st, and then performed again. And you could see this. I kind of I am always amused by the Arsenio Hall show and how super serious Arsenio Hall is all the time about everything when he's talking about it. So there's a video clip of the Peace Choir, sort of not the all the like they got who they could get
Whoever
for
was in
that
town.
performance. But this is particularly hilarious clip of the out of context. It sounds really terrible in parts. The Peace Choir here. So I'm gonna start at about the middle of the song, at the 2:12 mark. And the first voice you'll hear, a pretty recognizable Cyndi Lauper, and then it goes from there. So here's a Peace Choir with "Give Peace a Chance."
Everybody's talking about it.
Amazon, the trees gone,
cancer cells from the sun.
Middle East, crazy beasts, rock and roll, sing for peace.
All we are saying.
All we are saying.
Give peace
your children.
All we are saying.
Oh boy!
Wow, you definitely enjoying Cyndi Lauper's accent there.
Yeah, and then when Terrence Trent D'Arby comes in, it's like he's in a totally different key or something like. Oh, I'm saying. So pretty nutty, but check that out online. Peace Choir, give Peace a chance. Real funny.
Well, it gives me a sense. I mean, in a way, John writing nonsense for the verse kind of works well because you can insert whatever you want, which they were doing. They were updating it with Middle East and blah, blah, blah. So I guess in a way that it was kind of nice that John left it nonsense and you could just update it and transform the lyrics for whatever occasion you have.
Well, they part of everybody's talking about Civil War, Revolution, Armageddon, No Solution.
Mm-hmm.
Are we facing Vietnam? We don't want to drop the bomb.
Right. There you go.
So,
yeah.
So everybody's talking about acid house, gay spouse, greenhouse, heavy metal, hip hop, censorship has to stop. HIV, AZT, New Kids Dance on MTV with toxic waste dumps in the sea.
Wow. That...
It's like totally like dated now.
Very
a lot
dated.
Of those references like to 1991.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, good example of how this could be updated.
Yeah.
More, as we go on, if we get another Give Peace a Chance version,
right,
for whatever the next
calamity
war calamity that's going to be started.
Yeah.
Here's one from John Fogerty.
Oh, CCR.
Yeah, that's right. And this is from the John Lennon 75th birthday concert. So let's hear a little John Fogerty with Give Peace a Chance.
Peace in your mind, peace on earth, peace at home, peace in the world.
What do you think of that, Dave? John Fogerty.
Yeah, he's real, real earnest on that. Bishops and fishups and rabbis and Popeyes and bye-byes. So I guess he was really feeling it for the 75th birthday of John on that one.
I like the stuff that was going on in the background there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
good arrangement.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So. I like him. I like him in general, so it's cool to hear that.
The next one here, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
Hold on to your hats, Dave. This is from the album Instant Karma, the Amnesty International Campaign to Save Darfur. Great cause.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Give Peace a Chance, first people you think to call to record that. Aerosmith, here they are.
Give peace a chance.
That's Aerosmith with the Refugee All-Stars, Dave.
Well, I kind of...
Not
like...
what you expected, I don't think.
Not at all. No. Speaking of emphatic, I mean, Steven Tyler is really all over that one. I kind of like the... It reminds me of... remember when we did our final Apple Scruffs episode, we had the Hot Chocolate Band doing...
Oh, that's right.
Give Peace a Chance, right. And kind of a reggae-fied...
Rubbish.
Yeah, rubbish. Yes, that one. In kind of a reggae feel.
Yeah.
And so that they're kind of repeating that on the Aerosmith during the chorus, but the verse was a little more, you know, syncopated. Bop, 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 bop. Yeah, really into it. So,
right.
Yeah. So another good charity cause there.
Now, Dave, what's going on with this one? I don't know, but it's... From on his official YouTube channel, here's a version of Give Peace a Chance from Sir Elton John.
Right. Are you ready? Everybody is talking about the bagism, shagism, dragism, magism, ragism, tagism, bobtailism, thisism, thatism, ism, 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 the George Chisholm, yes.
Oh, we are saying, it's getting some time. Bishop Auckland, rabbis, rabbis, bye-bye, Max Bygrave, and everybody else.
All we are saying
is give them all
a chance.
Yes, the whole lot.
All we are saying is give them a chance.
Everybody talking about revolution, evolution, the Everly Brothers, mastication. Houston Station, flagellation, regulation, integration, mediation, United Nations, congratulations.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Dave.
What was that? Did they invite Monty Python
various...
over?
Yeah, various hilarious English characters just happened to pop by at an Elton John recording session, I guess. Very weird. Very, very, very weird.
Yeah.
I would almost think it was a fake.
It seems like a farce.
Not Elton John song, except it's on the Elton John official channel.
We've got to find out what's going on with that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, real crazy. So with all those crazy ones, I thought I'd play one that's actually very, 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 very cool. Give Peace a Chance, featuring Louis Armstrong.
Give peace a chance.
Give peace a chance.
Oh,
Pretty funky there, huh, Dave?
Very funky. We didn't get to hear any trumpet on there, but and I think I think I read that he was Louis Armstrong was about 70, like it was a year before he died, so he was pretty old there. So he didn't quite have the pep and the energy that the background vocalist did for the verse, but very funky. I like that version. Yeah. So
yeah, so lots of great. I'm sure Give Peace a Chance gonna be the gift that keeps on giving as far as cover versions go, because I've had to stop at some point because I was like, I've already got way too many.
I know,
and you can't not play some of the ones we played there.
So. No. The one I would add to the list that I remember from the Golden Throats collection of horrible covers was done by Mitch Miller and his gang from the late 60s, and he sounds about as square as you could possibly be. He's like, Give Peace a Chance, lay it in there, man, and just really, really, really bad. So that one was terrible.
Oh, boy.
And we should also mention that John Lennon recorded... played this at the Live Peace in Toronto gig, which we're not talking about now because we're gonna actually do a special on the Live Peace in Toronto gig from '69, and that was kind of the big song. He says at the end, he introduces it by saying, "Well, this is why we're here," and so that's also kind of a famous version.
Yeah, and there's also a kind of crazy. Version with Yoko reading a statement.
Yes.
From the live in New York City. Well, I'm sure we'll get around to that as well once we get to those gigs. Let's not be negligent.
No.
We got to get on the other side from Plastic Ono Band, written by Yoko Ono. It's Remember Love. Let's hear a little bit of Remember Love and then we'll talk about it.
Remember love, love is what it takes to see. Remember love, love is what it takes to need.
Yeah, if you wanted to learn a song to play to your child as you're trying to put it to sleep, you know, playing a little song on the guitar for it, this would be like a fantastic song for that.
Yes,
I really think it's very beautiful. It's one of the, it's one of the times I really love when Yoko's not when Yoko's just singing.
Yes, not scream singing.
Sweetly singing and not doing the extra histrionics that you can go into. What a beautiful little sentiment.
Yeah.
You know? It really in some ways is more peaceful than the other side of the album, where you got a room full of people just give Peace a Chance and sort of like,
it out.
Chanting it. This is just her and John and very quiet and very sweet, you know.
Yeah.
Very kind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's nice. It's again quite a contrast from "Don't Worry, Kyoko," that we heard last episode in our earlier Lennon episode, but yeah, that's a nice little
particularly the Toronto version. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah. A lot of screaming,
a lot of yelping, and a lot of that kind of thing.
Yeah. So yeah, very nice.
I guess we'll go out as we always do with these episodes with the full version of "Give Peace a Chance" from Plastic Ono Band, and you know, I think we said all we could say about it.
Yeah.
But it's good to dig into it, you know. I think, you know, when people name their favorite John Lennon songs, I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe it does come up for some people, but
yeah.
It wouldn't be on my list. But for the cultural impact, you have to, you know, really appreciate it for that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you that. And also these two singles that we looked at, Cold Turkey and Give Peace a Chance, kind of give a nice preview of what we're going to find a lot of in John's solo career. So you've got a whole lot of protest songs coming with Sometime in New York City and Power to the People and tunes like Happy mm-hmm. Christmas. And then you've also got the kind of raw confessional songs that are coming up on John Lennon Plastic Ono Band and then would appear in various stages through the rest of his life. So kind of gives you a little preview of what's to come in John's world. So important for that reason as well. So
yeah.
In the meantime, all
peace
we are
and love.
All we are saying is give peace a chance.
Okay.
One, two, three, four. We'll be right back.